Welcome to Town Talk with Ted on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders who impact our community. Now, the recipient of three First Place Virginia Association of Broadcasters Awards and the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
City Councilman Matt Kelly here this morning. Matt, good morning, and more than good morning, happy birthday.
Oh, thank you very much. And I should also take this opportunity to welcome you back to the mic. And it's been a while. And
since you and I have been together. Yes. It's good to be here, and it's good to have you back in here to talk local issues. A lot to cover. Let's start by talking about a regional issue that you were in attendance at in Spotsylvania the other night, the baseball conversation. You have been how many years have you been involved in dealing with baseball when you count the years
with
the city?
3 years.
Okay.
Starting from when we started down the road of, you know, checking how teams are organized, how they work, and everything else.
With the city now not a player in getting baseball, what is it like to watch another locality now deal with these issues?
A little bit of it's deja vu. Having to hear the same things again that I heard before. And that's one of the aspects of this which was kind of interesting. And I do believe that it was premature to try to put anything to a vote on such a short track. But at the same time, this has been a discussion that has been going on in this region now for well over, 2 years. And there's been a lot of information out there, and it does seem that, like, in a lot of cases, we're kind of starting from zero again instead of taking advantage of the discussions and the information that was out there before.
That was my question the other night, and as I watched it develop in the 6-plus hours they dealt with it, some members did seem to be taking of the approach and asking questions that could have been easily answered either by talking to other localities or talking to the city.
It was very interesting, and I think that Chairman Chris Jakubowski did a very good job in kind of walking down all the comments that had been made regarding the stadium project and saying, well, this is correct, this is not correct. And I think, frankly, and no dumping on the entire media, we're kind of down to limited sources of information.
Yeah.
And the press has not done a stellar job in establishing a baseline, which would be, or a context for this discussion. What have other localities do? What kind of other deals have been out there? How successful have they been? And another aspect of this that's not really been covered very well is a lot of the opposition, both in the city and in Spotsylvania County, center around horror stories of teams going bankrupt and all these other problems. Yes, that does happen. That is mostly, and frankly, totally, independent league teams, mm-hmm. non-affiliated teams, because with affiliated teams, and when I say affiliated teams, I mean teams that are associated with professional baseball, have guarantees coming from Major League Baseball. So if a team does go under or a team underperforms, they step in and either bring another team in or bring in new management and leadership. Because, of course, for Major League Baseball, the last thing they want to see is anything fail. And very early in the conversation that evening, it was made clear by Mr. Krupa, who is the president of the South Atlantic League for Minor League Baseball, that they've not lost any teams.
Yeah.
And they've all been working out pretty well.
As you you watch this, I mean, you obviously, right to the end, tried to make a deal and tried to make it work in the city. Now that that's not a possibility and that Spotsylvania is a possibility, as you look at this, I guess, we look at it regionally, do you think this would be a good thing for the region? When you got up and spoke the other night, you mentioned
that. This, wherever it went, and I think it would have been better for the city to have built it in the city. I think as long as we have a facility like this in the region, it is going to, benefit the region. It is relatively a unique opportunity as opposed to, continuing to build what we've been building, which is a lot of strip malls. How many Lowe's, how many Walmarts, and how many 7-Elevens and Wawa's can you have? And one of the points that was brought up by one of the speakers is, you should be bringing high-paying jobs here. And we can always have a discussion on that and what's involved and what we can and cannot do. And, I think one of the members of the Board of Supervisors has brought up that look at Stafford. They're getting all this office space and stuff. Why can't we have office space? We should have office space too. Well, the feds have rules and regulations on how far a business associated with or working with a federal installation has to be to that installation. You have issues related to National Capital Region and where the federal government locates, which we're not in. But when you look for office space and higher end employment nowadays, what's the first thing they look at when they're looking to locate? They're looking at schools and they're looking at quality of life issues. What's there for my employees and everything else? And I think this would be a big help to, if you want that kind of development, to help that along.
When you take a look at those kind of options, I mean, that's something this area does. Baseball's something this area doesn't have. There are things we have added some things over the years, but this would be a game changer kind of thing.
Well, right now, what we've had development wise, especially on the commercial side, is we're mirroring each other. You know, we got Central Park, and we went gangbusters Central Park. A lot of revenue was able to allow the city to do a lot of good projects. And then Stafford built one at 610, and Spotsylvania built same anchor stores, same everything.
Yeah.
And now what's happening? They're starting to shut down in Spotsylvania, underperforming in other places. You know, that kind of development, I'm not saying is bad, but when you reach a saturation point, and so you need to start looking for what will make us different, what will attract the type of development we want here. And more houses and more strip malls and more Walmarts and stuff like that is, I'm not saying they're bad, but again, we're seeing what's happening. We've mirrored each other, and now we're all suffering accordingly.
And it's been interesting watching budget talks, especially in the city in Spotsylvania. It looks as projections come out, and you take a look a few years down the road. There are some big tax increases that are going to be possible if things don't change. If you take a look at some of these out year budgets,
state and federal funding is going to go down. It's going to have a bigger impact on the counties than it's going to have on the city. So we do have to start looking at long-term and looking farther out than year to year. What do we have to do to diversify the tax base and at the same time make it less volatile? You know, balancing it out. You have residential component, you have retail component, and what else? You know, higher-end employment, and hopefully that mix will get you a stable and expanding tax base. But right now, the market on the commercial side is, you know, most of the projects you're seeing being done are pre-sold and pre-done. No spec construction going on now. Banks are very tight on what they loan mm-hmm. money for. So we are sitting in a position of, can we as local governments do anything to attract or assist in bringing the type of development we want? And I understand completely the philosophical issue that opens up, which is the Pandora's box is, should government get directly involved in a specific business or opportunity? And I understand that dynamic, but then my counter question is, all right, if you don't allow us to try to look at, because frankly, whether you like it or not, the economic picture has changed so much that every locality, as I try to explain to my compatriots, when we say, well, we've got a tech zone or we've got an incentives package, well, so does every other county and city in the state and the nation. That's the way business is done. I'm not saying it's good, bad, or indifferent, but that's the reality. And to sit there and say, well, no, we're in a good location and everybody should love to come here, and all we have to do, as was said by some of the members of the Board of Supervisors, we've already rezoned it, so it's going to build out this way. No, it's not. It takes a little bit more work than just rezoning or changing a zoning classification. And my question to some of the – again, going back to my point of the question to some of my friends who are on the opposite side of this, all right, if you're not going to allow us to make efforts to start expanding and diversifying the tax base – then as our expenses increase, and they will, regardless of what we do, it's, you know, salaries, insurance, retirement, you still got to replace equipment, so costs will go up, then my only option is to tax you. But you don't want me to raise your taxes, but you don't want me to do anything to increase revenues, so I don't have to tax you.
Something's got to give.
And, you know, frankly, the one issue I have with some of my compatriots, and I consider myself a conservative, is no is neither a plan nor a vision. You got to come up with something. All right, if you don't want us to do this, what do you want us to do? And that's a question that they don't seem to want to talk about. They just be very happy to say, well, I don't want that. Well, if you don't want that, then my options are real estate tax, personal property tax, and whatever. And you don't like that either.
As someone who deals with, has dealt with these kind of big issues over the years, and a lot of this stuff goes on behind the scenes. And in this case, too, this has been talked about. They mentioned the other night, since last fall, there have been talks. Some of the board members, at least publicly, seem to indicate they didn't know anything that was, you know, this was all fairly new to them. It's not unusual to have these kind of cases, or, you know, you have talks, isn't it, behind the scenes for a long time before it becomes public?
A lot of it is the businesses themselves. You know, they're thinking of locating here. They may not be locating here, and they want to see what kind of what's out there before they make a commitment to move it forward. I think in the city, a concerted effort was made to get as much information out as early as they possibly could, and obviously make ourselves available, some of us anyway, for interviews like this or talking to the paper. And a lot of sit-down time was spent with the press, you know, trying to explain this is how this process works and everything else like that. And that needs, I think, needs to be done a little bit more. I do think they try to push this a little too quickly. I think you need a little bit more time for everybody to get comfortable with it. You know, for me, it's been a long time, but I do understand. And when you have people saying in a meeting, I don't know, both sides, members of the Board of Supervisors saying, I don't know, and members of the EDA and whatever saying, well, we don't have an answer right now. You know, that's not a good situation. And again, the point I made to my colleagues in Spotsylvania County is, if you don't have answers, then you don't vote. Because at the time you vote, yes or no, you got to be able to explain why I voted yes, why or no, and you don't want to sit there and take a vote and say, I'm voting this way because I don't know.
Yeah. So do you think, it's just a guess, but do you think baseball will give them the 60 days?
I would, not being directly involved in the conversations, I would think so. I think the 60 days, though, is going to be 60 days, and then they're going to expect some action to be taken.
Yeah.
Again, I understand the issue of trying to make a decision with that short period of time was probably not the best way. Was not the best way to approach it. But looking from the other side of the picture, this has been a two plus year odyssey for Major League Baseball, and they're kind of going, you know what? We'd really like to kind of bring some conclusion and to this. And again, a big part of this is explaining to the public, you know, what the context is. You know, everybody said this is an awful, terrible deal. Why would anybody do it? Well, there's deals out there in other localities that are not as good as this one, and they're still making money. The teams are still there, and they're very happy. Can this deal be changed and made better? Yeah. I mean, I've looked at it from we talked about the lease, city building and leasing to the team early on, and then we shifted over. So I know exactly what we talked about in our lease with the team. And some of the things that Spotsylvania has received is better than what we got, the front-end payment being the biggest part of it. But there were other things in our agreement that came into play that are not in here with regards to capping costs to the locality. You know, that was a big thing for us is we didn't want any unknowns. When we passed it, we wanted to know from year to year what to expect. So if there was a cost to us, we capped it, said we will not pay more than this amount a year. That's something to be discussed. Naming rights, we got some of the naming rights funds. I don't really care what you call a stadium as long as some of the revenues would come
back.
Things like that. But again, for the team, they basically said, well, now we're going to, instead of doing that, we're going to take this big lump sum of money and boom, we're going to pop it in the front end. And that is big.
Okay. Chris Jakubowski will be here on Monday, and we're trying to work it out and see if we can get David Ross in here to talk about his opposition. But anyway, Chris Jakubowski will be here on Monday. City Councilman Matt Kelly here this morning. When we come back, we'll talk about city issues now that we'll move away from more of a regional issue. We'll talk city stuff. Matt Kelly here, more on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFT.
Welcome back to Town Talk with Ted on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook. Just search News Talk 1230 WFVA. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
City Councilman Matt Kelly here this morning. We're talking city issues. After the bottom of the hour, I want to talk to you about a FAMPO meeting coming up and just roads and things like that. But this coming Tuesday, council you'll formally adopt the budget. How, in your mind, how did the budget year go this year?
I'm really coming to the conclusion that, you know, I'm wondering whether or not this is the best system of government for local government, in the sense that you have a city manager who job is dependent on the support of the council. And so when the council says, all right, we want to do this, 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 and this, you know, that becomes the priorities. And I think in the presentations of the budget, we on the council do not get a really good accurate picture of, you know, the state of the city. Case in point is I met with fire department to talk about the communication system that we need to work on and a fire station, and to get the heads up on the issues we're having with communications within the city. And this is public safety. And it's, well, why isn't this? And that's why I'm trying to push our new communication system up sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
And so I think if the budget process, we need to, as a council, to have a better handle and actually meet with her. It's understood the city manager puts the budget together, but we as a council need to have a much better understanding of what the departments are looking at, what problems they're facing, and frankly deal with those before we go into, oh, we want to build a park and we want to do this and we want to do that, and, you know, our golden shovel moments. And so for the most part, the budget's pretty bare bones. I mean, we are adding some staff, but hopefully they will help with streamlining processes and hopefully getting us additional revenues and savings, I should say. But, you know, the point I try to make throughout this budget process is we're looking at 3 cents this year, we're looking at it 3 cents next year, and 3 cents out. And I don't think that got out. But that's the situation we're facing, which gets us back to, what are we doing with economic development? What are we doing with economic development? Well, we have tourism zones, we have technology zones, we have art zones, we have this zone, so we have that zone, yet we're not doing anything. And then we're creating all this, and then we're sitting with our hands folded going, okay, now we'll just wait for everybody to come here.
Yeah.
Not understanding that everybody else has the same zones that we have. And you know, part of this is the council. We need to be more proactive in economic development, diversifying the tax base, getting back to baseball. I'm okay with this budget. I think if, you know, Billy, the vice mayor, was big on, I want to reduce the tax rate, knowing what we're facing. And we could have done it. We would have had to have cut some things. That's fine. You know, I'm still, as always, wanting to zero out constitutional officers. The state has really fallen flat on supporting their obligations to that. The regional jail is going to kill us next year. You know, everybody's screaming and yelling at me on the R board about, you guys, you know, played down your reserves and you should have kept your reserves, and now we're in this situation. Well, the regional jail did the same thing. Next year we're going to get slammed with, you know, all these new operational costs. We need to get our acts together, really, and get serious about what we're facing. You know, what are we going to need, and how are we going to meet those needs? And we did put money in for a strategic economic development plan. I'm just really hoping, and I keep asking the question, you know, we need to have that conversation with the council first and how this is going to be done, because I don't want it to be an in-house controlled process, because we're going to get the same studies we've gotten the last four or five, and we haven't done anything with those, let alone getting anything new and different out of it.
You mentioned the jail costs. That's not going to be just a city issue. The other localities involved in the jail.
The other localities will get hit with it too. Yeah, it's just going to be another one of those expenses that are not. And then we just got notice that, of course, the R board, we have to spend $5 million to build a new cell, and the R board's going to put in $1 million of that. But Stafford and Spotsylvania have to split the other cost. And right now, as we were advised, that the fees and the R board will cover the bonds. And I'm sitting here, I mean, chairman of the R board, I get to see the numbers. And I'm going, how in the heck do you think we're going to be able to operate a landfill, take care of all of our capital obligations, rebuild our capital reserve, and pay the debt service on a new cell? I mean, there's got to be a little bit of reality here. And everybody's going, oh, no, we're City residents aren't going to have to pay for it. County residents aren't going to pay for it. The R board's going to come up with the money. Okay. As chairman of the R board, I'm now officially asking the respective staffs, how the hell are they going to come up with that money?
So the R board discussion doesn't seem like it's going away.
No. I mean, things have calmed down. There's been a lot of stuff out there about dumping, and we're being told by staff that has not been occurring. They're very diligent now in checking if they see something on the side of the road, getting information on who may have dumped it and taking action. I think people have gotten pretty much in line with the fee structure, and it things seem to have worked out. But it's not, you know, as expected. Your usage has dropped. The amount of revenue that we're getting from it is not going to meet the deficit.
Yeah.
And that was my point when I actually voted against the current fee structure was, if you're going to raise fees, you got to set it up to where it's going to reach your goal, which is close this delta. But we played politics with it, and, you know, we don't want to do this, we don't want to do that, this group, that group, and the other group. And then we ended up, I'll just say, annoying everybody by establishing the fees,
yeah.
Yet we're not going to achieve the goal we set out to achieve, which was cover that gap. So what have we accomplished?
City Councilman Matt Kelly here this morning. When we come back, we'll talk about a chance for you to find out how road projects are financed and built and all of that. That'll be coming up Monday night. We'll talk about that when we come back on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk with Ted on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Voice it now on Facebook. Search News Talk 1230 WFVA and place your comments now. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
City Councilman Matt Kelly here with us this morning as we talk about city and area issues. There is a you're part of you're not chairman of FAMPO anymore.
I'm on the executive committee. I can't remember if I'm secretary or treasurer.
I'm trying to always figure out, because I figure that since you're the chairman of the R board, you wouldn't be the FAMPO chairman. That would be a little much.
No, I've actually
you've done.
I've actually been chairman of, I think, at one time both.
Okay. Okay. But anyway, FAMPO on Monday night is going to do something a little bit different. Describe what's going to happen.
Well, one of the interesting things that came out, especially now that we have a lot of new members, elected officials that are on FAMPO, they're having a lot of questions about how the process works. And I say works in quotes. So the thought was, why don't we put something together to where – we can sit down and explain how a project, road project, or any project, frankly, start from inception. You know, how do we decide which project to do through the entire process of funding, planning, design, construction, completion. So they would have a good idea of how this process works, again, in quotes. And then as the discussion went on with that, I thought, well, this is, you know, a lot of people, based on the comments I read regularly on transportation stories, seem to find this very interesting. Why don't we open up to the public so the public can attend, so yeah, they can learn how, you know, the process works, again, in quotes, with regards to transportation. And so it's Monday at 6 o'clock, and we are meeting at VDOT on Deacon Road. They have a little convocation area for meetings. And we asked them to take one or two projects that have been done that people are familiar with and kind of walk them through the process of, you know, what's FAMPO's role, what's the MPO's role, what's local government's role, and then where does the funding come from, you know, how's the design process done and through construction. And I, you know, for a lot of people, I think it'd be that are interested in this, it would be something worthwhile to attend.
No, because you do. Sometimes it's frustrating. You look at, I mean, you get frustrated. I mean, you know how things work, and it's not as easy as just saying, we got to do something at Falmouth. Let's get a plan and let's get to it.
What is always interesting to me is when a locality is going to election mode, and a lot of times the people come up to run and goes, you know, our biggest problem in our locality is transportation, and if I'm elected, I'm going to solve our transportation problems. And I always get a chuckle with that.
Good luck.
Quick story on that. Just when I was first chairman of FAMPO, we actually had a meeting with everybody and anybody, state, federal, who had anything to do with transportation. And the then district director of VDOT, who I won't mention her name, don't want to put him on the spot, very proudly held up, and it had to be one of those 11 by 17 sheets of paper, you know, it's one of those big pieces of paper.
Yeah.
with which had to be like, and I'm not exaggerating, like 150 little colored blocks on it, and says, this is the process that a transportation project has to go through. And I'm going, and you're proud of this? We have the most convoluted, Byzantine, compartmentalized process that is, I mean, we are basically flushing money down the toilet on a regular basis in transportation. And one of the scary parts of having this meeting is people are going to be getting, have an opportunity to really get a glimpse of it, and I don't think they're going to like what they see.
Well, and if we see day in and day out when some of these projects do finally get done, by the time they get built, they're not adequate. They would have been adequate when you first started planning for them, but when they're
Blue and
actually
Gray Parkway
done.
Is a classic example. Blue and Gray Parkway, which started a concepts in the 60s, was to be an outer beltway around the city, and by the time we built it, boom, we're already well beyond. And then you have other projects. You know, for me is when Bragg Road and Route 3, when they widened it, which was a good project. You know, you widened it until you got right to the city line, and then boom,
stops. Yeah.
What point, I mean, when you design a road project, it should be from point A to point B where it makes sense to either, you know, move traffic better, relieve congestion. Stop designing to political boundaries. Just makes no sense.
Are things getting better? Because there's been talk about, you know, the VDOT's going to be, we're going to reform this or that, how we do things.
HB2 is, to me, personally, and I want to make that clear, classic example of why government locations does not work. What HB2 is going to do, House Bill 2, and passed by Republican General Assembly with a Republican governor initially, and our current governor has jumped on the bandwagon, so I'm not, this crosses party lines, I don't want to jump on anybody's case, and says, you know what we're going to do? We're going to have a more transparent and prioritized system. So when the time comes and projects are chosen, the public is going to know why this project was chosen and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, the issue with that is the amount of money being involved in this is roughly $400 million. $200 million is going to be distributed fairly. And once you say fairly and balanced, the whole concept of prioritization just went right out the window.
Because who's deciding that?
No, what's
fair to me is...
Well, you're still dispersing the money instead of focusing on the areas that you really need it. If you really want to do, where are your choke points? And let's really focus the money on those choke points. No. So now, you know, little bridges... And I'm not disparaging my colleagues in rural counties, but, you know, a little bridge over there is having a minimal impact compared if we focused it here on 95. Mm-hmm. And then you have roughly $200 million left to disperse accordingly. And, for example, the project that would really help, which is the widening of I-95, the construction of the Greenway to help Route 3, the CD roads, is roughly a $250 million project. Then they set up these prioritization areas. FAMPO prioritized their projects and went through this process years ago. We were the first MPO to do it. Now we're being told we've got to change it. And the process is still convoluted and long. So at the end of the day, we've still got that same money, limited amount of money going through the convoluted, wasteful process and spitting it out into now a – I'm not saying it won't have some impact, but at the end of the day, it's not what we need. What we need to be doing is focusing on reforming the process. If we're going to have less money, we need to make sure that's spent and not wasted on over-designs, multiple designs – going through multiple departments. That should be the focus. Instead, we're wasting it on here. So that same little amount of money might be spread out a little bit better, but its impact is going to be minimal. So all this is I can tell you right now, a lot of politicians at the end of the day are going to declare victory. We've reformed transportation. We now have it prioritized. But it's going to have absolutely minimal impact on the grand scheme of things to the person sitting on 95 or Route 3 or Route 17. So that's why we at FAMPO are having I'm probably the most vocal opponent, but I don't think anybody sees where this is going to get us anywhere.
Well, and the other thing is it's become so political. I mean, Stafford is really upset because claiming money that they promised them.
We lost, over $100 million in project money.
Yeah.
And we said, oh, don't worry about it. It'll come back. I don't think that's realistic. It's really an example of what frustrates me a lot about governance at a number of levels, in the sense that it's perception oriented, not outcome oriented. You know, we're going to have a prioritization schedule up for all the state to see, and we go, woo, great perception, really no outcome. It's not really going to change the dynamic for the person sitting on I-95. It's just not, or Route 3 or Route 17, because it's still too little money that we're prioritizing in the grand scheme of things. That's a big issue. And it's still going through the same crappy process, where we end up wasting money going through the process. So, again, we've achieved relatively nothing.
Now, when the governor signed it, when Governor McDonald signed that, it was hailed as...
This is it, man. Woohoo!
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now we're coming up, it's been 2 years now.
Well, they're supposed to adopt... I don't want to get too much into it. You have different classifications, and which classification do you fall in, and all this other stuff. And right now, even they can't explain it to us. Well, no, we're still working on this. We're still working on this metric. We're working on that. And once you start getting into metrics, it's over. And again, it still doesn't really address the key issues: money, process, and prioritization, focusing the money on where it's going to have the biggest impact. If that's what your goal is, then do it. Don't sit there and say, we still got to spread the money all over the place, and it's going to get us nowhere.
Speaking of roads, and this is on a real local level, how much longer all the in the city, the streets, depending what week you're at, and I'm always, it's fun to be driving downtown now, and all of a sudden you turn on the street, it's like, uh-oh.
We're finishing up. Actually, there's another issue on that that's even more interesting. Now, it's great that William Street and part of Princess Anne Street is being done. It's long overdue.
Yeah.
But one of the issues is, and I actually had the item pulled from our agenda, our consent agenda, which is we just passed it, we approved the consent agenda, was our next year's paving plan. And I'll give you a classic example of where this goes wrong. Stafford Avenue, they couldn't do it at one time. So we did it three separate phases over, 3+ years. By the time we got to the final phase of repaving Stafford Avenue, if you went back to look at the other two, it had been totally cut up, repaired, redone for gas lines and everything else.
The gas line, yeah.
I asked the question again, and hopefully we're going to get an answer on Tuesday night. It says, why don't we better coordinate? Say, hey, Commonwealth Gas, we're tearing up this road. If you've got anything you want to do, and I understand there's going to be breaks and problems, but if you've got something to do, let's do it now and not have to, 6 months after we finish repaving the roads, we're cutting it up. We'll see what happens. Doug's supposed to make a presentation to us on that.
I have noticed that. I guess it was Stafford Avenue.
You look at it. They finally got that last piece done, and you went back to the other two sections, and it was gatored. It was patched, multiple patches and problems.
Well, it was interesting.
And then we just did the water sewer improvements in College Heights. So what has that done to all the streets? We just ripped up everything.
Yeah. It is interesting when you rip up streets around here, though, what you're going to find. Last week when they found the cobblestone.
We have lots and lots of cobblestones.
And that was interesting just to go downtown and
see it.
And see that.
It might be Alexandria did that. I don't know how successful it is because I think people will complain, but have sections of streets that they left in the original cobbles.
Yeah.
Driving over, it's an experience.
That's
pretty neat.
Yeah. I mean, Charlottesville can pull it off because they they've closed off their downtown and it's just a walking area. But yeah, driving over that. But so I guess. For the next little bit, for the next while anyway, or the next few years, we're going to be dealing with city streets being torn up.
And here's the other aspect of getting back to the wonderful state. With HB2, we're going to declare victory. At the same time, the state has matching fund program. So when we put $1 million into it, and we get $1 million. If we get it, we get another $1 million to match it. And that's what we're using to do a lot of this repaving in these bigger projects. We've also been advised, by the way, now that we're doing HB2, another thing you need to understand is over the next 2 years, the amount of money we're going to put up for matching is going to get smaller and smaller and smaller.
Ooh.
So, we'll be back to...
No money.
No money. Or having, as we did in the old days, using general funds to take care of our streets. Because we get an allowance, we get an allowance from the state. The county takes... VDOT takes care of county roads.
Yeah.
City takes care of it. They get an allotment from... VDOT for both construction and maintenance, neither of which is basically a drop in the bucket for what our needs are.
all the tearing up of Fall Hill Avenue, how much longer? I mean, we're still in the early stages.
We're still in the very early stages. We're just getting everything lined up and realigned and ready to go. So that project should be really kick into gear this year.
Okay.
In the next few months.
Okay. And then there's a new road coming in, isn't there? Or
correct. You're going to take the road coming into from Jeff Davis Highway into Mary Washington Hospital is going to punch through.
That's right.
And so that will be the new kind of our new east kind of east-west road.
And there'll be a new bridge. You brought up an interesting discussion when the bridge ended up being named for Martin Luther King.
Well, no. CTB approves all naming of bridges. Okay. We ask that the bridge be named.
Okay. But you brought up an interesting point of naming bridges or things like that for people like Mayor Davies or people that are local people that are well known.
Having a degree in history and enjoying every small opportunity I get to actually use my degree in studying history, you know, we look at the Grants of Lees, the Abraham Lincolns, the Washingtons, the FDRs, and go, they did everything. Well, no, they provided a vision and a direction, but you know, frankly, it was Joe Q. Public, the machinist, the mother, the dad, the college kid, the farmer, who actually had to be the one standing in the line and actually making it happen, and in conflict, standing shoulder to shoulder, blazing away at each other, and, you know, making the decision. And I think it's important, especially for generations coming up, to understand that things happen because the common person steps up and says, hey, today I'm going to do this, and I'm going to stand in there, I'm going to be water cannoned, I'm going to be attacked by dogs, because I think the issue at hand is important enough for me to make a stand. And that we as individuals can be and should and will be and at times called upon to make sacrifices. And I think we lose that when we keep focusing on just the big picture. So I think if we start naming things after local people and what they did, then, you know, each generation comes up and goes, yeah, well, that's great. That's this person in my community who did something and tells them the story that what they do is as what we do as individuals is important.
Yeah. No, it was an interesting discussion, an interesting thought of why more things aren't in Fredericksburg named after after some of the real leaders that we've had here locally.
Yep.
City Councilman Matt Kelly here, more on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk with Ted on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook. Just search News Talk 1230 WFVA. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
City Councilman Matt Kelly is here on this coming Wednesday or next week. The Planning Commission is going to deal with the situation that Mike has been vocal about.
Social service and in the as a zoning classification or definition.
So, and I guess what's being discussed would require them and others to go through the Planning Commission.
Well, let's talk about them and others, which has been thrown around quite a bit. The vast majority of the social services that are currently in the city that basically have a person come in on a case file meeting and then leave, or just have an office there, are office uses and will remain office uses. We are looking at coming up with a definition of a social service organization that provides food, clothing, showers, and a lot of on-site services that go well beyond
an
office use and has different impacts than what an office use is. And I was a little disappointed that, you know, there was this big push from the social service side, because I serve on the COC and was there when they discussed this at their previous meeting, you know, standing up and saying, oh, you're all going to be subject to this new classification. And that was, you know, not true. This is really for something that goes well beyond, you know, coming in for a meeting and leaving. It's, you know, when you're providing a bunch of services in one location, that has a bigger impact than an office use and should be treated as a separate classification.
This will be voted on then by the Planning Commission, and then it'll come
then
before
it'll
council.
Come to the council. And my guess right now is that we will adopt a definition. The question will be, under what will it be a by right use, or where will it be a special use permit, or will it be a combination of the both? In certain areas it'll be by right, in certain areas it'll be a special use permit. where they're looking at relocating. And this came about because Michael wants to relocate. And as they have pointed out, the then planning director kind of jammed them into the office definition, use definition, which is their current classification for downtown, which is by right. But obviously they have added services and expanded services even at that location that goes beyond what most people would consider an office use, and will continue to expand services to this new location. So I think it's very appropriate for the city to take a closer look at it.
It's just kind of quieted down for a few weeks, but this is going to be a big
commission. It'll be back, and I think it'll be a big issue when it comes before the council.
And have you looked at how do other localities deal with this?
Well, this is actually the reason we went down this road, is we were looking at how other localities did it and other localities. And there are questions in how you define it, and we do need to make sure we're clear on all those. But, you know, it'll be – I don't think there's any question that we will have a definition. The question will be, where would this use be allowed by right or special use?
City Councilman Matt Kelly here. Again, happy birthday.
Thank you, I think.
And, well, you made it to another one. And tomorrow you have – your youngest is I still have one more in that's going to be in college, but your youngest graduates from JMU tomorrow.
Yes, we are going to make the early morning trek to go out there and also start packing him up to bring him home for a while. We've pretty much told him that he's – my wife and I got married when we were in school, had our first child while we were still in school, so we kind of hit the ground running and everything else like that. So with our youngest, it's kind of like, you know, give him a little time to – have some fun before he has to run smack dab into that wall called reality.
Yeah.
Get a job and pay the bills and everything else.
Well, we've known each other a long time, and it just doesn't seem possible now that we have kids that are the ages they are and everything. But life moves on, I guess.
And right now, we are reaching our moment where we have to sit down, my wife and I, across the table from each other and look at each other and go, okay, now what do we do?
Exactly. City Councilman Matt Kelly here. Matt, good to have you in. Good to see you.
Thank you. Welcome back.
Thank you. See you soon. And that's it for Town Talk. This week, again, Chris Jakubowski is in Monday. We'll talk about baseball in Spotsylvania.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.